can't tell you the dates when the first water system was built. But the first water system was a well. And it was located up off of 2nd Street, just back of the Baptist Church, where the parking lot is now. That was the first water system of the city. And then that didn't provide enough water, so they went out west, just outside of the city, to a spring that would be just south of Jackson Street and west of Freeman, about a block west of Freeman. There is a spring that comes out there, and it's still in existence. And they developed that spring and pumped that water back. Now, the dates on those I do not have. And I think you'd probably have to just search the old council record to get that. But the first pipeline that was built into the city from on a gravity supply was in 1912 and 13. It took 2 years, as I understand, to complete the job. And they started, the line was a 12-inch wood stave line. Now, do you know what a wood stave line is?
We don't.
Well, you know what a barrel stave is, a wooden barrel stave.
They don't know what that is either.
Well, I'll describe a wooden stave pipe to you. They take and cut out these slats of wood. They're about an inch and a half thick, and they're about 3 inches wide. They come in various lengths, whatever the tree or the board will make. And they cut them beveled so that when they're put, formed in the shape of a pipe, that theoretically they will fit perfectly. And then they wrap that with a steel wire, heavy steel wire under pressure. And then when they put the water in the side of the pipe, the wood swells and theoretically makes it watertight. And that's the way the first pipeline was built. And they started at Hillsboro and went right up the highway through Cornelius to just the west, east edge of Forest Grove, and then went down through here by Carnation Mill and followed the old highway up to Scoggins Creek, where the county road comes in close to Scoggins Creek. They were on the county road all the way there. They followed Scoggins Creek up to the mouth of Sane Creek, and then they cut across onto Sane Creek, and the first intake was on Sane Creek. It shows on this side of the map right here. That's the old Hillsboro intake on Sane Creek. That was about 17 miles of that pipeline. That was a 12-inch wood stave pipeline, about 17 miles long. And that served the city of Hillsboro and, of course, the farms, mostly farms at that time, alongside of the pipeline between the intake and Hillsboro. And then later, a line was built. The city didn't do it. But a line was built to connect to the Hillsboro line and go on east through Aloha, and this same system served Beaverton. So it served the Aloha area, Aloha-Huber area, and the city of Beaverton in the early days before Beaverton grew.
What would be the population, do you suppose, of the town about that time?
Oh, I wouldn't have that short of the blue book. I looked for an old annual report that charts. I had all of that, and I have it somewhere in City Hall, or it was in City Hall, but I don't have it with me. But the population was way down.
Was it like a couple of thousand?
Yes, something like that in Hillsboro. Forest Grove in the early days was a little bigger than Hillsboro. And I don't remember just when we passed them, but of course Beaverton wasn't as large as either Forest Grove or Hillsborough about that time.
Beaverton was a lot smaller.
Now that was done in 1912 and 13, and that is the water supply that we had until about 1947 and 48. But in the meantime, Beaverton discontinued the use of this water because they couldn't get enough water out of this line to do them. So they developed wells of their own and stopped using water from this system, but that still then didn't give Hillsborough enough water for Hillsborough and Alloa. So in 1947 and 48, well, the city bought the water system in 1940. Bought it from, I believe it was People's Water and Gas Company that owned at that time. The system had changed hands two or three times. Oregon, Washington Corporation built the line, I believe. They were the original owners. And then I think they sold it to Portland General Electric. I'm not sure. Portland General Electric, anyway, did own it at one time. But when we bought it, at that time, it belonged to People's Water and Gas Company. And we bought it in 1939, took possession in February 1940 for $180,000. Remember that price. Realizing that that wasn't nearly enough water, we, of course, the city filed on water on the filed for a permit for water on the Tualatin River. And that'd be in that location. Not quite a bit further than we built that line. Now that's an 18-inch steel line from Hillsborough. Followed practically the same route as the old 12-inch wood stave. We got up on Scoggins Creek, and then up to Scoggins Creek. Of course, instead of going up Scoggins Creek, we went right on up the Tualatin River. And we followed the county road up the Tualatin River, past Lee Falls. Have any of you been at Lee Falls? You know where Cherry Grove is? Well, it's on up above Cherry Grove. And then the intake to the present 18-inch steel line is at what we call Haines Falls, and that is this location right here. And that is 22 miles from Hillsborough. 22 miles of 18-inch steel line, and that was built in 1947 and 48.
Can you imagine running 22 miles? How long did it take for them to lay that pipe?
We did it in 2 years. It could have been done in 1 year, but it crowded us because we had quite a bit of road work to do. You see, at that time there was no road beyond Lee Falls, so we had about 3 or 4 miles of road to build from Lee Falls to Haines Falls. So we split it into two units and did it in 2 years. And that pipeline would deliver about 4 million, as I remember, about 4 million gallons of water a day. And that served the town of Cornelius, the city of Hillsborough, and the Lower Huber. Now, that is the system that we're on now, with some improvements. Realizing that that wouldn't last us very long, we filed for a water right over on the Trask River. And in 4 years ago, In 1969 and 1970, we built what we call a Trask Dam on the Trask River. Now that's on the other side of the Coast Range. So we have to bring the water from the Trask Dam through a low pass in the Coast Range, dump it into the Tualatin River, and then pick it up in the present pipeline that was built in 1947 and 48. Now this dam today, a reservoir rather, contains about 4,000 acre feet, and it takes about 3,000 acre feet or 3 acre feet to make 1 million gallons of water. A little over three acre feet to make 1 million gallons of water. So 4,000 acre foot would be somewhere around 1,300 million gallons of water that the reservoir is now storing. And we are using that water now. We impound it in the wintertime and then in the summer, in the short supply time, we dump it into the river here and pick it up again here and use it.
How much water does Hillsborough use
daily?
How much water do you think it would use?
Well, some days we use up to over 6 million gallons.
Yeah.
Meantime, that is the system well.
Mm-hmm.
Meantime, we built this storage reservoir that holds 6 million gallons out here on 24th Street. You've probably seen that.
The great big round.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. We'll have to look at that. That's out by our school.
We'll look at that on the weekend. That holds 6 million gallons, and the thought behind that was that in the nighttime, when the demand on the line was down, we would refill the tank and then pull out of it during the daytime. This worked out very good, only still wasn't enough.
Are there any future plans for, if Hillsborough gets bigger, will this be able to supply this?
Well, when we were working on this, we bought property enough so we could increase that to 20,000 acre feet, which would be just five times as much as we're getting there now. And we bought the property enough to do it. So all we'd have to do then is go in and raise the top of the dam, build the dam higher, and we could store up to 20,000 acre feet of water here, which would, as I say, give us about five times as much as we're storing now. In addition to that, the Scoggins Dam, which was just being finished, is on Scoggins Creek, just above Simpson's Mill. Now, I don't know how many of you have been up Scoggins Creek or know anything about that. But the city of Hillsborough bought or contracted for 4,500 acre feet of water in that dam, and City of Forest Grove contracted for 4,500 acre feet of water in that dam, in that reservoir. So that'll be a total of 9,000 acre feet that we will have there between the two cities, and I presume the two cities will work together. The City of Forest Grove has a 12.5% interest in the Trask Dam, so I presume that we will work together from here on out. I hope so.
Is the lower still in this water district?
No.
So Aloha is with what Beaverton then?
Aloha is now with Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek.
Wolf Creek Water District serves Aloha here.
So this is just Hillsborough and Forest Grove.
Hillsborough and Forest Grove. And then we also are working with the Soil Conservation Corps on the McKay Creek, or McKay, whichever you call it, dam and reservoir, which will provide quite a bit of additional water. But that probably will be, most of it anyway, diverted into the Wolf Creek water system because it's out here right on the edge of that, and we probably won't need it for a long, long time. Are you ready again?
Yeah.
Now, up until this point, all we've had to do to the water is to chlorinate it. That's a disinfectant that we put in the water, not enough to hurt anybody, but enough to kill all the harmful bacteria. And that part of it is fine, but we do have some murky water in the wintertime during the heavy rains, heavy runoff. You've probably noticed that you get some discolored water in your bathtub and other places. So the state and the federal government come along and say, you can't do that anymore. You've got to run it through a treatment plant. So we are now, building a treatment plant. We're now building a treatment plant out south of Forest Grove in conjunction with the federal government. The Bureau of Reclamation is also building a pumping station there to take water out for irrigation. And we're working with them. I mean, it'll be part of the, part of the total project, but we will take the water out at that point. That'll give us a chance, you see, to pick up everything in the Tualatin and also to pick up this water in Scotland and treat it at this plant. And the plant in the first instance will be designed for, I forget what the actual plant design is, but it will have an expansion possibility of up to 60 million gallons a day. So that will be enough water to take care of us for a long time, that is for all the communities and the surrounding area. And that water will be pumped up on top of this ridge right south of Forest Grove, and there will be a holding tank put up there. I don't know what size, 15 or 20 million gallons, probably a couple of them. We'd hoped to be able to store about 40 or 50 million gallons of water there, so that in case anything happened to a pipeline, we wouldn't be out of water down in the valley. And then that water will be carried from that hummock out through probably what we normally call the golf course road, right through like that to the Laurel, the road that runs from Hildesburg to Laurel. And then there will be a Y come in here to Hildesburg, there will be a Y come in here to Forest Grove. And this part will be, as I understand it, 45-inch diameter. From this point, then it's designed so it can tie into whatever happens east of us. And if necessary, a tie could be put into Cornelius. Possibly that won't be necessary.
Well, that's a big 45-inch pipe, okay? Mm-hmm.
About from here down.
It's about as tall as trees.
Yeah. So you just about stand up in it.
Right. That's a lot of water. Mm-hmm. Coming through. Doesn't some of that water travel through the mountains before it gets to the dam?
Pardon?
Doesn't some of the water travel through the mountains before it gets to the dam?
Well, not very far, because we're up pretty close to the top of the mountain.
Because my dad said that, I can't remember how many feet, but if it travels to the mountain, the water turns clear and it's okay to drink.
Well, the State Board of Health, I don't admit that. It does help purify itself. It will clean itself up. It'll aerate, what we call aerate itself, and course, actually, there is a bacteriological process that goes on while the water is traveling, and it will reduce the contaminants materially. But if it's too badly contaminated at the source, you'd have to take it a long, long ways before it would clean itself up. But it does help it, and it does take out the worst of it. But some germs will live for a long, long time, others don't live very long. And so that's the reason the state is so careful about what we do with the water after we collect it down here.
I don't want you to get... Where did you guys get the water for the dam?
Well, that's the rain and snow that falls on the hill, the back of it.
Comes down. Not a very big creek. Not a very big river up there. Really. How many, none of you have ever been up to see the river? It's really not a very big river that they're backing up. But it collects quite.
Well, there's an awful lot of water comes out of the Tualatin in the wintertime. You see, when you get, they'll have as high as 3 and 4 feet of snow up on top of the mountain in the winter, and then when that goes off, there's really a lot of water comes out of there, and it comes out pretty fast.
But see, it doesn't look like the Willamette or the Columbia. You know, it's a small river compared to the Willamette, but it builds up fast.
It's on a steep grade, and it runs off fast. That's the reason it piles up so down here in the bottom.
Do they have any questions you want to answer?
Does the water mostly run underground?
Not in this country. there's very little underground water, as moving underground water, around us here. This part of the country here, I wish I had that book. This is an old lake bed where we're living. It's nearly 1,500 feet down to solid rock. In other words, this one was once a lake nearly 1,500 feet deep. Can you read that? The cannery out here years ago drilled a well. They tried to get water out of the ground. And they went down nearly 1,500 feet before they struck solid rock. Meantime, they brought up clamshells and petrified wood and bark and stuff like that. So it is a lake bed that has been filled in through the years. And that's just this area here. Now, as you go south towards the Yehalem Mountains, it's just a deep, sharp canyon.
Well, I mean, just moving around in the water, Is that where it comes up and comes into your office?
You mean, are the pipes underground?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, the pipes are all underground.
Almost everywhere you can find them.
Okay. You want to know how many pipes. Where would our pipes be?
Yeah.
Well, there's one that goes up Deep Street.
And that branches off each house?
It branches off each house.
And each street has one.
And of course, closer to the further the pipe has to go, the bigger the pipe has to be because it serves more people. It starts out big, and then as you get out towards the end, it gets smaller. But we have to maintain. I think the standard now is not less than a 1/16 diameter because of fire flow. See, you have to be able to get water enough through those pipes to fight fires. So when you get below a 1/16 line, you can't get enough for the pumpers to operate.
How deep are the water pipes?
Usually between 3 and 4 feet.
So they're 3 or 4 feet down below, and they're all throughout Hillsdale. Every place that has city
water. Under every road?
Under every road. Along the edge of every road, usually, isn't it? Along the edge.
Generally, yes, in the parking. Mm-hmm. Sometimes out in the middle, but sometimes the road's been widened out over them. But generally, they're placed in between the curb and the sidewalk.
Where does it start and end? What do you mean?
Well, the main line comes right down the highway, coming from Forest Grove, and it comes right down Baseline Street, on the south side of Baseline Street. And it goes, I'm just talking about the main line. It goes down the west, the south side of Baseline Street to 6th, and then it goes south to Oak Street, then it goes east on Oak out to 18th, and it goes south on 18th to Maple, east on Maple to 21st, south on 21st, through and under the river, under the Southern Pacific Railroad track and the highway, and then it turns east again and parallel on River Road, and comes back to the highway again at Witch Hazel. You know where Witch Hazel is?
Yeah.
And then, of course, there's pipes that take off of that at every street, so that there's water to every house in town, as far as we know.
That's a lot of pipes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I do.
Okay.
How did you think of the use pipes for the water?
I didn't get your question.
How did you think of the use pipes for the water?
They have always used pipes, and it's just they just know they use pipes. They've used pipes for hundreds of years.
I couldn't hardly get his question. They've used pipes since the earliest history that we know of. The old pioneers used to take logs and hollow them out and butt them together and use the hollowed out pipe or hollowed out log for pipes. That was in the early days before pipes were plentiful.
What kind of the pipes are metal? Are they a metal pipe or not?
Mostly metal until you get into the large sizes. They started out with wood, but there is in the early days, because wood was plentiful and metal was expensive and so was concrete. In fact, they hadn't developed the science of concrete to withstand the pressures. So wood pipe prevailed for quite a while in the water industry here, particularly in this area. But because of the leakage and the short life of the wood pipe, because the wires, the wrapping wires, aren't any larger than a lead pencil. Wouldn't be that big. Just about maybe a little less in size than a lead pencil, these heavy wires that wrap the wood. And of course, the minute one of those rust out, then your pipe's gone. It lets the pipe expand because of terrific pressure in that pipe. And the wood itself, they couldn't treat it because they used the treatments that they knew of in those days. I guess even yet, it would make the water taste like creosote. Carbolanium and stuff like that is a good wood treatment, wood preservative, but if you use that on your water pipe, then it didn't fit to drink. So they went to steel, and steel has its disadvantages because just the raw steel won't last too many years. So they started treating that with a tar and a coal tar and an asphalt lining to inside and out to extend the life of that pipe. That met with some success, but not too much, because linings do give way and you may end up in your sink. So then they went to cast iron pipe, which is more resistant to corrosion. It will last much longer. Some of it is known to have been in the ground 100 years or more, but it is terribly expensive. Especially when you get into large sizes. Now, when you get into the...
Just well do it.
When you get into the sizes, We've used cast iron pipe up to about 24 inch. We used to. I don't know whether we can afford to now or not. But when you get above that, then it becomes too expensive. So they have developed a steel and concrete pipe, and they take a sheet of steel, sheet steel, and coat it inside with the concrete mortar under pressure, also on the outside, and then they again wrap that with heavy steel wire, and as they do that, then they grout it more and more to build up the strength they need to withstand the pressure. And the steel in within the steel plate within the pipe acts as a water stoppage, and the concrete preserves the steel and protects the steel. So that we don't know what the life of that, really what the life of that pipe is, in very good condition. If it's in a real acid condition that will cut the lime out of the concrete, it wouldn't be too many years, but if everything was perfect, it would last a long time.
Whatever pipe they have has to be very strong because...
Excuse me, I don't let her out of my sight.
I'm kidding. The pipe has to be very strong. Because if we don't have it real strong, the pressure on that water, the water pressure is so strong that it won't bust.